Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. For podcast listeners, welcome to part two. For those watching on YouTube, welcome to just the second part of the episode. Welcome back. My name is Peter Klein, and we continue to get ready for boxing this weekend as it is Canelo Alvarez going up against Munguia in another Cinco de Mayo weekend bout for Canelo Alvarez. He is absolutely one of my favorite fighters, and so I thought I would take this time to do what we do on this channel a lot, and that is a legacy look. Let's go back and relive the legacy of Canelo Alvarez going into this gigantic bout. Gigantic bout would be a bit of an overstatement, but going into another fun fight for Canelo Alvarez coming up this weekend. So, Saul Canelo Alvarez was born on the outskirts of Guadalajara, Mexico. The nickname Canelo is the masculine word for cinnamon, a common nickname for people with red hair. Alvarez started boxing when he was around 13 years old after watching his older brother debut as a pro boxer. In 2004, he won a silver medal at the Junior Mexican National Championships held in Sinaloa. He became the 2005 Junior Mexican National Boxing Champion at the age of 15. His amateur record was 44-2 with 12 knockouts. This was someone who, from a very early age, you had an understanding that this guy was a badass. By the way, I should say he was born July 18th, 1990. He turns pro at the age of 15, shortly after his championship at the Junior Nationals, because his trainers at the time were unable to find suitable junior opponents for him. And Canelo, the joys of youth, because he blew through the first part of his boxing career. His first nine bouts were in 2006. Seven of his first nine bouts were in 2006. He fought in October of 2005, November of 2005, January, February, June, July, September again, and December of 2006. And this would start a run for a while. 2007, he would fight seven times in 2007. So he's at 16 fights in his first 2 years as a pro. 2008, he finishes the year with his 24th career bout. So another eight bouts in that particular year. 2009, he closes the year in December with his 31st pro bout. So we got another seven to knock off of the list there. 2010, 36 pro bout. That gets him to 35-0-1 by the time he's 20. This was an incredible run of fights that he would go on. And then you start to get into the more familiar run of fighting every couple of years. And in that run, we talked about some of this as well. In his first 19 months as a professional, he knocked out 11 of his 13 documented opponents, all of whom were significantly older than him. And something that is said is that he fought on so many other smaller cards in Mexico that documentation for some of those wasn't exactly up to snuff. So who knows really how much he would he was actually fighting. On June 28th, 2008, Alvarez defeated a fellow named Vasquez in a rematch from their junior days. He also made history on this card when he and all six of his brothers fought on the same night, with Canelo being the youngest. Unfortunately, three of them lost, but the other four were able to pick up victories. On March 6, 2010, he picked up a devastating third-round KO in Mexico. He then defeated Jose Cotto on the undercard of a Floyd Mayweather-Shane Mosley bout to retain his WBC-NABF welterweight title. Alvarez would continue to absolutely roll through opponents. He beat Lovemore Naidu in Veracruz, setting himself up to be the mandatory challenger for the WBC light middleweight championship that Manny Pacquiao and Antonio Margarito were going to fight for. Pacquiao won and told the WBC, thanks but no thanks, and he said he had no intention on defending the title, so it became vacant. So on March 5th, 2011, Alvarez defeated European welterweight champion Matthew Hatton via unanimous decision for the vacant WBC light middleweight belt. And this is where we get into Canelo. This is 2011, where he only fought four times. But this is where he is starting to fight stiffer competition. And so the volume with which he is fighting is not necessarily the same as it was before. The bout averaged 1.4 million viewers on HBO and took place at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. And this was really the start of the Canelo Alvarez star run. He then goes on to beat Kermit Cintron in the fifth round, and then Shane Mosley. So a couple of names that people knew by unanimous decision. Alvarez was then due for a big fight. He was set to fight ranked former welterweight champion Paul Williams. However, a very unfortunate incident, as Williams had a motorcycle accident that ended up with him being paralyzed. So a few other contenders were lined up, and it really felt like Victor Ortiz was the one who was going to step into the limelight. Unfortunately, Ortiz would lose to Josecito Lopez in a stunning upset, setting up a fight with Canelo Alvarez. This ended up being Canelo's first major headliner in Vegas, and he did not fail to disappoint. Canelo was walking down Lopez it seemed very early in that fight like, oh, I can walk through this. And it was devastating shots to the body, huge power shots, knocked him down in the third, knocked him down in the fourth, and then ends up getting the knockout win in the fifth round. Just an absolute ass kicking. The fight averages 1.04 million viewers on Showtime and earns Canelo $2 million. His next fight takes place at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas on April 20th, 2013 against Austin Trout. The fight was supposed to take place on Cinco de Mayo weekend as the co-main event for Floyd Mayweather Jr. against Robert Guerrero. However, due to a contract disagreement between Alvarez and Mayweather regarding their potential fight on September 14th, 2013, Alvarez opted to headline his own card instead, and it pays off. It is in front of 39,247 fans, and this is, it doesn't show up so much now, but this is kind of in that part of the career where Texas was a major, major draw for Canelo. Now it's predominantly Mexico. He does get the fight later on in his career in Guadalajara, but Texas was a major market for Canelo Alvarez, bringing in some huge dollars. In front of those close to 40,000 fans, Alvarez successfully defends his WBC light middleweight championship, winning both the WBA and vacant ring light middleweight titles. He is then bestowed upon with a number of different rankings. He is Ring Magazine's number one ranked light middleweight, unified WBA and WBC champion. He would go up against the Ring Magazine number one pound for pound fighter, the WBA super light middleweight champion, WBC and Ring Magazine welterweight champion, Floyd Mayweather Jr. Mayweather held a world title at welterweight, 147 pounds, but he still owned a light middleweight championship, which he won by beating Miguel Cotto in May of 2012. He was moving back up in weight to face Alvarez with their belts on the line, although the fight was contested at 152 pounds. In front of a sold-out crowd at the MGM Garden, Mayweather defeats Alvarez by way of majority decision. Judge CJ Ross scored it 114-114, and then two judges have it for Mayweather, 116-112 and 117-111. And this was the brilliance of, I just stumbled on that one. This was the brilliance of Floyd Mayweather. He could see that Canelo was coming, and he could see that there was a star in the making here. And so Mayweather got on it early before Canelo had developed into the fighter that we would all know him to be. And so, and some would say that this is a part of Canelo's game now that they aren't thrilled with, especially at the time of recording this here in 2024, beginning of 2024, that Canelo is fighting Munguia when really there are bigger challengers he could be facing. It is not to the extent that Mayweather did, like that Canelo has dared to be great, to steal a Brian Campbell term, a whole lot more than I would say Mayweather did in Mayweather's prime. Mayweather was just kind of like, Now, I know I'm the best. I'm the draw. I'm just going to keep going out here and keep beating up these guys, and it's going to be fine. Canelo has been moving up in weight classes and going for unified titles and things of that nature, but there has been a little bit of picking and choosing in Canelo's game. Alvarez would earn $5 million for the fight, which sounds like an amazing payday until you realize that Floyd made $41.5 million for that particular bout. After a close fight with Arislandi Alara, Alvarez would move to HBO and fight James Kirkland on May 9th in Houston. There's Texas again. 1 week after Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr. fought in 2015. So again, we are talking about one of the biggest stars in the world in boxing, and he's just 25 years old. Alvarez would score a knockdown in the first, then a counter right scored a knockdown in the third before finishing it off later in the round. After the bout, Kirkland said, "I didn't even know I was knocked out." So that the huge power of Canelo showing up in life-altering ways as Kirkland was taken to the hospital to undergo a CT scan. The win for Alvarez set up a mega pay-per-view fight between himself and WBC middleweight champion Miguel Cotto. The Kirkland fight drew an average of 2.146 million viewers on HBO, peaking at 2.29 million, the highest viewership for HBO in 2015. On November 21st, 2015, Alvarez won the WBC ring and lineal middleweight titles in a unanimous decision win over Miguel Cotto in front of a sold-out crowd of over 11,000 fans at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. And this was the time where this is a guy who is a real legitimate draw, a real legitimate star. Mayweather and Pacquiao, they had their fight. It wasn't great. It box office gigantic success. It kind of spelled the end of Pacquiao as one of the big draws in boxing, or one of the like top boxers. At least he was still a big draw, but Mayweather, obviously the big draw. But Canelo is now moving up as the next one in this line. And you can see here, according to HBO, the fight generated 900,000 buys on pay-per-view, which equated to $58 million in domestic revenue. This was the first fight since 2002 that a pay-per-view, which didn't include Mayweather, Pacquiao, or De La Hoya, generated 900,000 buys. The fight in 2002, by the way, that was Lennox versus Tyson. So that's the era that we're talking about when we're talking about Canelo as a star in the sport. After beating Amir Khan, Alvarez and his team invited champion Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, into the ring to promote a future bout between them. During the post-fight interview with HBO's Max Kellerman, Alvarez stated, "Let's fight." And then, on May 18th, 2016, Alvarez vacated the WBC title he defended in the fight with Khan. The WBC immediately awarded the title to Gennady Golovkin. Instead, Alvarez would move to 154 pounds to fight Liam Smith at AT&T Stadium in Texas. And if people were disappointed that it wasn't Gennady Golovkin, they were not showing it with their wallets, as this fight took place in front of a record-breaking crowd of 51,240. Alvarez regained a world title at light middleweight following a devastating left hook to the body in round 9. Smith was also knocked down once in round 7 and once in round 8 in a fight where Alvarez was in control from the opening, but this pay-per-view isn't doing the same ones it did before, only at 300,000 buys. So, Golden Boy president Eric Gomez speaks to Ring Magazine in December and says that Alvarez had no immediate plans to vacate the WBO title and may fight in the first quarter of 2017 at 154, although he did state he wanted to face Golovkin later in the year. And then it was set up perfectly for Canelo, as Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. defeats Dominic Brich, a fight that's set up about between two giant Mexican stars. And this is, in my opinion, absolutely, it is smart business by Canelo, smart fighting by Canelo, but this is 100% out of the Floyd Mayweather handbook, where Cesar Chavez Jr. has a huge name, thanks to his dad, and he's coming off of the biggest win of his career, but everyone around kind of knows, like, hey, this guy's probably going to fuck up, right? Like, he's probably going to be a screw-up. Canelo sees it like, oh, hey, dollar signs everywhere. Let me fight that cat. And when I'm saying Canelo, I am saying Canelo's team in general. I don't think Canelo Alvarez ducks anyone. I think he would fight a moose if he wanted to. But I do think Canelo's team kind of saw, like, hey, there's something going on here that we can maybe exploit. And Canelo did, as he fought Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and beat the shit out of him. A unanimous decision win sends the crowd home happy. And that sets up the fight with Gennady Golovkin. It's Mexican Independence Day in front of a sold-out crowd of 22,000 fans. Over 22,000 fans. Mexican Independence Day 2017 at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. Also more commonly known as Vegas, baby. They fought to a split draw. And this is where controversy comes in around Canelo Alvarez. And legitimately, I think his kind of star power gets tested in a big time way. And if he hadn't built that star power up, I don't know how well reputationally he survives this, because he comes out with a split draw, 114-114, 115-113 Triple G, 118-110 Alvarez. ESPN's Dan Rayfield and HBO's Harold Letterman score the fight 112 or 116-112 in favor of Golovkin. Adelaide Bird, who MMA fans also know as just rather incompetent, had the scorecard in favor of Alvarez. Many thought that Golovkin won. Quite a few were like, you know what, like a draw is a draw, right? Like, it's not the most unjustifiable thing, but 118-110 for Alvarez is just out of the realm of possibility. And so immediately after the controversial ending, there's talks of a rematch with Alvarez and Golovkin. Alvarez said, yeah, let's do it again. Let's go May 2018. Gennady was like, hey, can we try doing it sooner? Turns out it would be later, as Alvarez then tested positive for a banned substance, clenbuterol, ahead of the fight. There was a lot of talk that it was tainted Mexican meat, which is a thing that people have said before, that when fighters go down to Mexico, that there is some talk like, hey, maybe don't eat all of the meat you see down there, because there's some stuff in it that can trigger some tests. But either way, there was then more controversy, as Golovkin's trainer, Abel Sanchez, claimed that Alvarez had wrapped his hands in an illegal matter in the first fight. On March 23rd, of 2018, the Nevada State Athletic Commission temporarily suspended Alvarez due to two positive tests for the banned substance of clenbuterol. Alvarez was required to appear at a commission hearing, either in person or via telephone, on the issue in April. There was eventually a 6-month suspension, so then things are delayed, and they're delayed, and they're delayed. And then finally, Mexican Independence Day 2018, 364 days after their first fight at T-Mobile Arena, they're back at it. Same spot, same result. Kind of the same controversy. In front of a sellout crowd of 21,965, Alvarez defeats Golovkin by majority decision after 12 rounds. Alvarez was favored by a pair of judges scoring the bout 115-113, and another judge scoring at 114-114. More dispute about this one. Of the 18 media outlets that scored the bout, 10 ruled in favor of Golovkin, 7 called it a draw, and 1 scored it for Canelo. This one was certainly less controversial than the other one, just because there was, obviously it was a close fight, right? Like that is clear that this thing was close. And so that you can't really put against Canelo or anything like that, but it did really show look, if this guy is fighting in Nevada, you're going to have to beat that ass if you're going to come away with a win. And so this should have been kind of the rivalry that defined this generation of boxing, the post-Pacquiao Mayweather generation. And instead, you come away from the two biggest fights of it feeling very unsatisfied at the results and really frustrated and kind of disenfranchised with boxing as a whole, which was just starting to get, it really has momentum now. But it was trying to get some of this momentum away from Mayweather, who was the biggest star of the sport and wildly unlikable, with a style that wasn't the most thrilling. And Manny Pacquiao, who's knocking sons of bitches out, you don't exactly want to host a podcast with the cat, though. So you're coming out of what was kind of an unlikable era of boxing, and now Canelo is this star, and he's this... he fights with the Mexican spirit and passion that everyone loves about Mexican boxers. But now there's this holdup. There's the positive tests, and there's two really sketchy decisions that are on there. But box office, Loved it. The fight generated a live gate of $23 million. It was lower than the first fight, but still the fourth largest grossing gate in Nevada boxing history. The fight sold 1.1 million pay-per-view buys, lower than the first bout, however, due to the price being at $84.95, it generated more revenue at $94 million. In October 2018, Alvarez announced that he would move up to the super middleweight division for the first time in his career, facing British boxer Rocky Fielding at Madison Square Garden in New York. This would be for the WBA Super Middleweight Championship. It would also be the first time Canelo would fight on DAZN. This was the announcement of a five-year, $365 million deal for Canelo Alvarez, under which his next 11 fights would be broadcast in the U.S. by the subscription streaming service. And there is a big fight with a big conversation about whether this was worth it or not, because now we are going to be watching Canelo this weekend on DAZN pay-per-view. And so that was like, DAZN was like, pay-per-view, dying industry. We have the new one. It's subscriptions. You get to see all the biggest fighters. Pay for Canelo. And now they've gone down the slope of pay-per-view. And now basically every big fight on DAZN is in the model that they criticized. But either way, the deal would begin with Alvarez versus Fielding and replace his expiring contract at HBO, which had also announced that it was discontinuing boxing telecasts. Alvarez won the one-sided bout by way of third-round technical knockout after repeatedly beating the hell out of Fielding with body shots. Following the fourth knockdown suffered by Fielding, referee Ricky Gonzalez stepped in, stopping the fight. And this, I think, was a good one. Just kind of like, people are a little down on Canelo, not really thrilled with him. All right, let's go to the world's most famous arena, let's move up in weight class, and let's beat the shit out of someone. And that got people back on the bandwagon. In September of 2019, Alvarez announcing by way of social media that he's now moving up two weight classes to challenge WBO light heavyweight champion Sergey Kovalev on November 2nd of 2019 at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Alvarez would win by 11th round knockout. He was up 96-94 on one scorecard, and the fight was tied 95-95 on two. So Canelo comes up with a dramatic victory, two weight classes up on Sergey Kovalev. Alvarez is joined by Thomas Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Mike McCollum as the only former junior middleweight champions in history to hold a title at light heavyweight. Among them, only Hearns and Canelo established their careers at welterweight and claimed the title at the 175-pound limit. Canelo would continue to roll until November 15th, 2021, when he'd fall to Dmitry Bivol in Mexico City in a move up once again to super light heavyweight. That just felt like it was a stretch too far against a fighter who was very good at that weight class as well. It was Canelo daring to be great and ending up on the wrong side of it, which was really, really unfortunate. And a bit of a surprise. And even then, it was still a close fight, but Canelo just did not have it in him at the upper limits of what his body can do weight-wise. Despite Alvarez expressing his want to avenge this loss against Bivol in a rematch on May 24th, 2022, it was announced that Alvarez would be returning to the super middleweight division to defend his undisputed titles against Gennady Golovkin in a trilogy, again, Mexican Independence Day weekend. The fight would see Golovkin, the WBA and IBF middleweight champion, compete in the super middleweight division for the first time in his career, while it was Alvarez's sixth bout in the same weight class. So you see again, where, and look, I love Canelo, but you can see it's like, yeah, I'll fight you again. Gotta move up though. Gotta bump that weight up a little bit. You gotta come up into a territory where I'm comfortable at. And Alvarez does pick up a decision win. 115, 113 twice, and 116, 112. So not the best for Canelo. And this, again, this trilogy that should have defined his career ends up just being a bit of a footnote. Coming off of that, there was an underwhelming fight against John Ryder in Guadalajara. Canelo, though, would put on a show following that as he beats up Jermell Charlo, winning by unanimous decision, setting up a fight against Munguia. There has been a lot of talk lately about who the face of boxing is, and I want to be abundantly clear that as I am recording this, as we approach Cinco de Mayo weekend in 2024, Canelo is still the face of boxing. He is the fighter of this generation. It's an unbelievable run. Four weight class champion, 3-division undisputed champion. The fight with Munguia this weekend probably won't add significantly to the legacy either way. This isn't close to one of the biggest names that Canelo has fought. Either way, it is still a chance to experience the fighter of this generation. Big fights still remain for Canelo, including a matchup for the which could be a torch-passing moment for Mexican boxing with David Benavidez on the rise. It is not a squeaky clean resume, and there are certainly holes that you can poke into a lot for Canelo Alvarez, but there is no doubt about it that in his prime, a Canelo Alvarez fight was an event. He has been the face of boxing for a country for a long time, and for the sport in general for almost as long, and it is a treat. We don't know how many more of these we are going to get. For someone who has been fighting for almost 20 years now, how much more Canelo Alvarez do we get? So I, for one, am really excited to see Saul step back into the ring this Saturday night on pay-per-view. All right, that is the Canelo Alvarez legacy look. I just quickly want to pull up and see, because some of these numbers are pretty big. Canelo has earned $640 million in his career. So not bad for the career of Canelo Alvarez. Alvarez Munguia is not the only big fight coming up this weekend, as UFC 301 is going down in Brazil. But there is still a buzz around the MMA world following UFC 300. So what other fights are coming up outside of this one? Let's take a look at some of that in this fight talk. Oh, wrong button. All right, let's run through these real quick. First, Conor McGregor buys BKFC Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, which I think is really interesting. I don't think this means Conor is leaving. I don't think it means that there is a partnership with the UFC and BKFC that is coming. I do know Conor has been saying, like, look, I am looking for equity in the Ultimate Fighting Championship or whatever. And they haven't necessarily given him that. But this is Conor dipping into combat sports ownership, but it's not in something that is a competitor to the UFC. So I think it's a very smart, really interesting move. I don't think it changes a whole lot for BKFC right away, but I do think you see like Conor being the face of this and really shilling a lot for it. And I wonder if there's a Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship logo on his bum when he fights Michael Chandler coming up at UFC 303. But overall, Bare Knuckle Fighting, I will admit, I was not the biggest fan of, and I'm still not. I don't love it, but I cannot in any way discredit the staying power for this thing, because people are into it, and it has the staying power that I did not necessarily anticipate. All right, a couple of fights have been announced in the last little bit. Arnold Allen against Jiga Chikadze at UFC 304. Allen coming off back-to-back losses against some pretty good fighters in Evloev and Holloway, while Chikadze is struggling with injuries, but still really talented fighter. So I think this is an intriguing fight out in England at UFC 304. Anthony Hernandez pulls out of his bout at, holy cow, Anthony Hernandez pulls out of his bout at UFC 302. I say reschedule him against Bo Nickel. That should be his next fight. Apologies to whoever he was supposed to fight at UFC 302, but let's make the Bo Nickel fight happen instead. That was the call out, and I think that makes the most sense in my mind. Alex Perez taking on Tajin Ulanbekov at Ultimate Fight Night in June, on June 15th. Perez just lost last weekend at the Ultimate Fight Night show. He took that on short notice and now wants to take another one basically on short notice next month. So he's going to step into the cage there, taking on Ulanbekov, who has back-to-back wins. Perez had just one fight in 4 years. This will be his third fight in 2024. So the man is making up for lost time. Then we get the fights that were announced at UFC 300. Islam Makhachev against Dustin Poirier. Amazing fight for the championship. One last crack at a belt, I think, for Poirier. And then we will probably see the winner of this fight take on Armin Sarukian. And Strickland against Costa. This is, testing, I think, the star power of Strickland, putting him in a co-main event in a pay-per-view. But I do think that this is one that he can win. I think the design is for him to win and get right back into that middleweight title picture. And then, of course, the aforementioned Conor McGregor takes on Michael Chandler at UFC 303 International Fight Week. That fight is going to be amazing. I cannot wait for it to finally be here, as we've been talking about this fight, it seems like, for a year and a half. All right, that is going to do it for this podcast today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, like it if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a review if you are listening in podcast form. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and I will talk to all of you later. I'm out.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.